What's goody? Merry Christmas. It's Christmas Eve. I hope you all have enjoyed this very nice, the most wonderful time of the year, Christmas season. And I know I have. I personally hope that all of you have. And yeah, I mean, I guess let's just go straight to it. Last thing I ate was some sourdough bread last night that my dad made, and it was very, very, very delicious. I enjoyed it quite a lot. Yeah, so right now, there was a Woods Cross basketball game that I was not able to attend, like I talked about last week, because it was all the way in Logan. And like even the team themselves, like they said it was okay if I didn't come to this game because it was all like it was way far. It was an hour and a half away, I think is what it ended up being for them, just because of all the traffic and weather. So that's fun. But that game, what they won 66-53. They didn't win by as much as I thought they were gonna win by, because I thought Ridgeline was bad, but no, they were all right. Ridgeline fell to six and sorry. Ridgeline fell to 6-2, and Woods Cross, they improved to 7-3. And really, that's good for Woods Cross. They got a nice win against a good 4A school. Ridgeline might win state for 4A just because I don't know very many 4A schools, honestly, but I feel like they could win 4A just by looking like at this team. They're really good. In terms of scoring, Jackson had a good bounce back game with 16 points. Cade had 14. Will had 17. Mason had 17, and Alex had seven. Had two. In total, yeah. They only played their five starters. Like they didn't go into their bench at all. And Ridgeline, they went into their bench by one person. Their leading scorer was Grady Workman. He's a senior, and he had 15 points. Yeah, he went 7 for 14 from the field. So pretty good shooting. Jackson improved a lot from his shooting, going like 1 of 9, 2 of 9, to 5 of 10. And so that's what I like to see. That's a good bounce back game for Jackson. If he scored more, I feel like that would have given him more confidence. But I feel like he'll have a lot of confidence going into this next game they have on next Friday, the 30th, against Clearfield, which I will be covering. Mason shot an efficient 7 of 18. Actually, that's not efficient. That's 39%. He shot 39% from the field in this game. That's 7. That's not very good. Alex was 20% from the field. He went 1 of 5, which is great to see. But not really. No, we don't. That's. Ooh. And looking at the just like the quarter by quarter scoring, Woods Cross, they jumped out to a 15-9 lead, and I feel like that's kind of what drove the rest of the game. Like what gave them that cushion. Because again, like their third quarter, yeah, they won it by points. It was 19-17, but that's about it. Like they only beat them by a bucket. I wasn't there, so I don't know if it was close the entire time or if they were blowing them out and then Ridgeline just made a run, or if it was just close and we got a bucket towards the end just to give us that third quarter victory, so to say. They tied the second, it was 13-13 with like the scores. And then we won 19-14 the fourth. And so it still shows that we struggle in the second quarter. We don't score a lot. We score only 13 points in the quarter, usually. This is our updated graphs that I'm looking at. We don't score in the second quarter. I think that is our biggest weakness, so to say. So if coach needs to like improve something, it'd probably be that. And Woods Cross, like again, like our third quarters, they're really big. They're massive. It's 18 points a quarter. Ridgeline scores almost 19 points every third quarter. So this was two really strong third quarter teams. Looking at Ridgeline's upcoming schedule, who they've got? They've got Timpanogos. That's okay. They're going to play Timpanogos. That's going to be a game. And it might. They're 1-7. Ridgeline's going to win that. So looking at like this, Ridgeline, they're a good team. They've only lost to Woods Cross and some other teams. And yeah, just like looking at all like Tempe Nuggets, they're not good. They score 5 points a quarter. They're not going to win. And Ridgeline, again, Ridgeline's a good team. They're a good 4A school, but we're just 5A, and we're still a contender, so to say, in the state, but we're 7-3. We're at a good spot, 70% win percentage. We've won 7 of our 10. That's good. Ridgeline, they've won 6 out of their 8. Yeah, so again, they're a good team. And in terms of scoring per game, it went down a little bit after these past two games. Jackson's at 18.7. Alex has at 7 rebounds, 3 assists. And Mason's at 1 steal, and Cade's at almost a block. I mean, Woods Cross, we lost to Skyview, and they play Skyview. Then we beat Logan, and they play Logan, and we beat Fremont, and they'll play, and they beat Fremont too. So Fremont's bad. That's just looking at their common opponents. And so I don't know. Like, this team, Woods Cross, that was a good bounce back game for them. I feel like it was a good win overall, because I feel like Ridgeline had the advantage in terms of how it should have gone, because it was an hour drive away. Woods Cross just came off a loss, and Ridgeline was coming off a big win against Bingham. Bingham's a 6A high school. They're 2-7, but still, 6A is 6A. If you are a 6A high school, you should be fairly good, just because you have more, like, there's more people that attend your school, so therefore you have a better chance of being good. So Woods Cross, they got a good bounce back win after losing to Alton. Ridgeline's coming in with confidence. Woods Cross had to travel an hour to get there. And yeah, I feel like that's a good bounce back win. And now they have a tough game coming up against Clearfield. Just looking ahead at that game, Clearfield, they're pretty good. I was there not too long ago. I think they're just, I feel like what Woods Cross is going to do is, I'm choosing Woods Cross to win this. Of course I'm choosing Woods Cross, but Clearfield's going to give them a fight. I was over at Clearfield not too long ago for a debate tournament, and Clearfield's 5A. It's a 5A school versus a 5A school. Clearfield's 5-1. Woods Cross is 7-3 again. So, and just looking at it, they've got common opponents again, as they will. We beat Hunter, they beat Hunter. And yeah, Clearfield, they're a defensive team. It's looking like Woods Cross is going to outscore them in offense. And the projected score is 63-54. That's what this projector is on Max Preps. It's where I'm getting all my information from, all these graphs and charts. Check it out, Max Preps. It's pretty cool. But, I mean, looking like in the third quarter, Clearfield scores 12 and Woods Cross scores 18. Just Woods Cross is looking like it'll win a lot. And looking at it, Clearfield trends up during the second half, from going from 9 points to 12 points to 15 points. And so, Clearfield, they struggle in the second. Woods Cross, they struggle a little bit more in the second, but they don't struggle as much. Going from down 16 to 3, about a 3-point differential, whereas 14 to 9, that's a 5-point differential in between quarters. So if Woods Cross can make good defensive adjustments at halftime, I feel, if depending on how the flow of the game's going, if it's going like how these graphs are projecting, make good adjustments in the second, and then you'll be fine. Because Clearfield, they make the runs in the second half. And just look, who did Clearfield lose to? They lost their first game of the year to Mountain Crest in overtime. Okay, so they should be undefeated. But they just beat West. That's a 6A school. But yeah, I mean, that Clearfield, I think they're going to lose. And one interesting thing is we're going to be seeing a lot more of Clearfield next year and in the upcoming years, just because it's just going to happen like that now, because there's going to be new stuff coming out there's going to be new, they're redefining the regions, so to say. Yeah, they're redefining regions. And let me pull them up for you as I get to them. 5A. Okay. So region 5 is what we'll be in. We'll be Bonneville, Bonneville, Box Elder, Clearfield, Northridge, Roy, Viewmont, and Woods Cross. Right now what it is, it's Bonneville, Bonneville, Box Elder, Viewmont, Woods Cross. We're adding Roy, Northridge, and Clearfield. Now, those are all, that's going to be, they're expanding them, so to say. And West is dropping down to a 5A. And yeah, it's going to be fun. We're going to be able to see a lot more of Clearfield, who's really good at basketball. I don't know about Roy, and I know Northridge is all right. But we'll be seeing a lot more of these teams coming up. And I feel like this is a good predictor for next year. Yes, Woods Cross is going to lose all their seniors, but it's going to be fun to see. Like, this is going to be a common matchup. I like how they put it on the schedule. But okay, this is a prep for next year. We'll be seeing each other every year from now on. It'll just be interesting. Yeah, I'll cover that game. I'll get you guys interviews and good breakdown from there up on out on this game against Clearfield. Yeah, jumping from high school basketball to professional basketball. The Jazz, they win some more, and they win some more, and they keep winning. They're not necessarily on a streak, but I'm liking what's going on with them. They won a couple nights ago against the Wizards, and they don't play again until Monday against the Spurs. And I feel like that's because the NBA saw us at the beginning of the year and was like, you guys are a bad team and you guys don't deserve it to be a Christmas Eve game or a Christmas game. So we'll give you a Christmas after game. We'll give you, as the Canadians call it, a Boxing Day game. Last time they played on the 17th is when the last episode was out, and they lost to the Bucks, and then they lost to Cleveland. So they were on a little two-game skid. But then they bounced back with two wins against the Pistons and the Wizards. Again, the game against the Pistons, Lowry had 38 points. You know, just a simple little 38. Coincidence how also on that day the All-Star voting opened up? I don't think so. A lot of people online are saying Lowry's not going to be an All-Star, but I think he is. Just because due to the fact that we are overachieving a lot, we're over 500, we're winning, we're in the playoffs right now. And it's in Salt Lake this year. It's really, 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 really weird for what's going on. Like right now, we are 7th. We're in the play-in, but we're still in the playoffs. We're 19-16. Only 3 games back of first place Denver, which is surprising. But I feel like Lowry's going to make it. He's our best player, and he's having a great year. And it's in Salt Lake. And yeah, and I feel like what I can really point to is people say, well, that's not how that works. Well, it kind of is. Because last year, Jared Allen, center for the Cleveland Cavaliers, was having a good year. Not a great year, a good year. All-Star game was in Cleveland. Cleveland was kind of winning. This was before Sexton tore his meniscus. And that Cleveland was good. They were winning for the first time in a little bit. And he made the All-Star game. And then Darius Garland, he made the All-Star game, but I feel like he was actually having a really good year and would have made it in regardless. But what just helped was the fact that it was in Cleveland. And so I feel if Jordan Clarkson picks up his shooting splits, because they've been down a little bit for these past few games, he's still shooting great. But if he picks it up a little bit, then he will also make the All-Star game as our Jared Allen type player. Because I feel like Lowry, he's going to make the All-Star game just because he's purely good. And then if Clarkson picks it up a little bit, then he'll be our Jared Allen. He'll sneak into the All-Star game just because, oh, it's in Utah. We want him to have 2 All-Stars. Pity the little people in Utah. There you go. And, I mean, I'm not complaining necessarily about it, but I don't know. Next few games coming up is we play the Spurs on Monday. And then on Wednesday, we play the Warriors. Friday, we play the Kings, and then Saturday, which I'll get an episode out on New Year's Eve for you guys as well. We play the Heat. I know I'm going to be at the Heat game, and we're on the road for Spurs, Warriors, Kings. We finally come back home against the Heat, and it's I don't know what to expect in that game. I feel like the Heat, they're struggling. They're 16-17, but we're not too much better. I feel like though we should be okay. Sorry. We should be okay. I feel like we're going to win most of these games. The only game I'm kind of worried about is the Kings game. I know it's weird saying that. You normally wouldn't say it, but the Kings are winning. And they're kind of fun to watch-ish. They're, again, 500. They're kind of like the Jazz right now. I think we're just above them in the standings. And so I'm not sure how that game's going to go 100% ho. But going from pro basketball, let's go to college football. Let's talk some Utah football. Early signing day was this week. I think it was Thursday. And we had a really, really good recruiting class. CJ Blocker, a corner we lost, who decommitted, ended up signing with us, surprisingly. And it's really, really, really nice to see. Like, I love looking at it and seeing Utah as a top recruiting, like, class. I think they were, like, 19th or 20th or 21st. I can pull it up real quick. And we went big. We got a lot of recruits. Obviously, it's a good recruiting class. But we got a lot of, like, four-star recruits. And it makes me very, very, very happy. We were able to replace like our big cornerback need that we lost, because we lost Clark Phillips to the draft. On this list by Bleacher Report, they have us 23rd. CJ Blocker, a four-star commit, is our biggest impact player. We had 19 signed, and we got Snowden and CJ Blocker. Smith Snowden from in-state. And it was really nice. And I feel like what we will be able to do is, like, this is a good step for us, because it shows that we are able to just get it right in terms of recruiting. Because in the past, we haven't necessarily got it right in terms of like the big recruits. Like, we've not got it right. I don't think that's right. I didn't phrase that right. I don't feel like we're able now to make an impact on. We're able to make an impact on the recruiting classes now, in like in state and out of state, and I feel like that will be able to give us more power in terms of just like at the table at the Pac-12. Now, like, people will start to respect us, and I feel like they should now, because we've won two straight Pac-12 championships. So I feel like we should get that respect. But then now we should be able to get it even more because of our recruiting classes. We have the third best recruiting class in the Pac-12, because Oregon and USC are still going to buy their players. Sorry, I'm saying it. But I mean, what we got is CJ Blocker, four-star cornerback. We got Hunter Clegg, four-star defensive lineman. Spencer Fano, four-star offensive lineman. We got Caleb Lemu, four-star offensive lineman. John Randall Jr., four-star running back. And DeJon Stanley, four-star running back. And we got some good receivers too. We got Kainoa Carvello. I probably butchered that. Three-star receiver. We got a three-star tight end. We got a three-star quarterback. We got Mikey Matthews, a three-star wide receiver. And we got Darren Zipperner, three-star wide receiver. And Smith Snowden. He says he's a three-star DB. He's a four-star. He's from Skyridge. Okay. And Utah has shown, like, now that we can recruit with the big boys. We're good now. And I feel like this is going to be good for Utah in the future in terms of not only conference realignment, but, like, transfer portals. We've got a bunch of good transfers. We've got the leading tackler from Stanford this year. He's coming to Utah. But conference realignment, this is big for us. Because I feel in the offseason, it's going to be announced that either Utah is staying, or Utah has received an offer, or Utah is going. Because we can either dominate the Pac-12 for a couple more years, or we can leave in 2024 with USC and UCLA either to the Big Ten, or go to the Big 12 with BYU. As I don't know how I'd feel about it. I'd like to go, even though we'd get destroyed in basketball, we'd kill them and everything else, but we'd lose in basketball. But if we went to the Big 12, we'd be really good, I feel. But that's a different discussion for a different time. But in terms of conference realignment, this is good. And reports came out that we've spent over $500,000 in NIL and for recruiting and transfer portal. And so, again, I don't know if that's because we're winning or if that's because we're making an impact. And another thing came out that in Pitt, Pitt was going to get a receiver. I think it was one of our receivers that we got. I can't remember his name. And it came out that we were able to take him because we had a better NIL offer. Again, I don't know. That's just me. Let's go to World Cup. Finish that up. Argentina won in penalties. I was watching that game, and I don't know why I was watching it, but I ended up having a fun time watching it with my brother Alex. It was a fun time. Argentina versus France. And yeah. Right, let's go to professional football. There's some games today, and the Vikings play today, and it's a lot of games today on Christmas Eve, because it's only like a three-game slate tomorrow, two or three-game slate. And so I feel, yeah, today, Giants-Vikings, Bills-Bears, Saints-Browns, Seahawks-Chiefs, Bengals-Patriots, Lions-Panthers, Falcons-Ravens, Texans-Titans, which got delayed a couple hours because of the cold, Commanders and 49ers, Eagles-Cowboys, and Raiders and Steelers, and there's a four-game slate tomorrow. I'm picking the Vikings to win, Bills, let's go Saints, Chiefs, Bengals, Lions, Falcons, Titans, Commanders, Eagles, and it'll go Steelers. And tomorrow, Packers, Dolphins, Broncos, Rams, Buccaneers, Cardinals, Colts, Chargers. I'll pick Dolphins, Broncos, Cardinals, and Chargers. Yeah, NFL's trying to take Christmas from the NBA. I don't blame them. I mean, who wouldn't want to try and get money? But I forgot to talk about the Christmas Day slate. We'll do that. It's five games. Sixers, Knicks, Lakers, Mavericks, Bucks, Celtics, Grizzlies, Warriors, Suns, Nuggets. I'll go Knicks, Mavericks. Ooh, that's going to be a really good game between Bucks and Celtics. I'm probably going to watch that one, honestly. Bucks. Sorry. And I'll go Grizzlies over Warriors and Nuggets over Suns. I hate the Suns. They are doing what I predicted. They're mid right now. They're 19-14. That's about it. I will be back with you guys next Saturday, New Year's Eve, with player sound and in-depth recap of the Woods Cross game against Clearfield the day before. I hope you guys all have a Merry Christmas, and yeah, peace.